From the land, the Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of September 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He'll also take us through this morning's USDA crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimate reports. We'll check in with the state statisticians to get an update of crop conditions across Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana. And we'll hear all about the agricultural energy sector and the impact of Irma and Harvey. We'll do that with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. It's going to be a lot more fall-like in the second half of September than it has in the first, and that's a bit surprising, I suppose. We'll hear from Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Today, the United States Department of Agriculture updated its crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates report. It now says that we'll carry out 2.35 billion bushels of corn this year. We'll harvest 169.9 bushels to the acre for the yield at 14.184 billion bushel crop in total, and that'll put our output for the carry out of next year, or by the time we get to fall, at 2.335 billion bushels and have an average cash price of $3.20. For soybeans, the carry out for this year at 345 million, next year at 475 million, average cash price at 920. They put the yield at 49.9 bushels to the acre and the production at 4.431 billion bushels. On the line with us to talk about these numbers and how Chicago reacted is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Wayne, I don't know that anybody thought soybeans were actually going to go up very much, and indeed they did. So did the corn, for that matter.
Yeah, nobody was leaning that way. All of the average guesstimates were lower. You know, as we looked, that basically the average guess was 167.8, so 2.1 bushels less than what the government said this time. And when you figure that they're going to come down a little bit, you maybe thought somewhere in between where they were last month and that number, and to go higher yet by a half a bushel with the lack of rain that we've seen through the Midwest for August and September was just quite shocking to most everybody, and they were leaning the other way.
And so when you go through the numbers, USDA believes they have the objective numbers starting to come in, although there's not a lot of the crop that's pulled yet. Will we change things very much by the time we get to October? I guess it's kind of tough to tell.
You know, I think it's toughest for us to tell as well as the USDA when we just aren't as far along in harvest or have as many samples out there really done. And when you do the reading on this thing, it is a trend line yield with weather-adjusted yields to take into consideration here. And I think the pod weights that they used, the ear weights they used and the pod weights they used were on the heavy side. And without some moisture in the Midwest to finish up, why will we see the pods that heavy in the beans, and will we see the ear weights as good and the test weight good on the corn? You know, as we were looking here at some of the states and how it worked, our big Midwest states didn't change a whole lot. The extra bushels probably come from the outlying areas in the east and west of the main Midwest, didn't they, Todd?
Yeah, well, it looked like that way, and you can check those numbers out if you want on our website at willag.org. There's a map there that has all the states, and if you just roll over it, it'll give you the yield. And then there's a breakdown, too, by region. So I put the 12 north-central states. Those are usually considered the Corn Belt states, but for extension, we're the north-central region. Those are all together. And the south and the east states, which we've been talking about a little bit together as well, they had a pretty dramatic jump up in their yields, and they already had a good yield, though USDA did put an audio file out today, not long after the release of the report, Wayne, that started with the word warning, that they had not used anything or hadn't had the chance to get an impact of Irma and maybe parts of Harvey into this as well. I looked, 50% of the crop, or 56, something like that, has been harvested in Texas for corn. So there are some things to think about, I suppose.
Yeah, there's going to be some problems associated with that. I mean, I don't know that they'll affect greatly because, as you said, a lot of the corn is harvested in Texas already. We don't grow a lot of corn or beans in Florida along the way. But, I mean, as they come up through Georgia and Alabama and around there, we do know that there's a fair amount of crops grown there. So, you know, not to the extent of the Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota areas, but there are some crops to be taken into consideration there. One of the things that we did notice today was on the beans, we did have a gap. There was an old gap at 940, and we got to 938 and three quarters here today and closed back above that. So we did fill a gap there, and beans did close fairly well off their lows, up about 12 cents off their lows. So that was a little bit encouraging to see them bounce back on the close that way.
Anything from the world numbers that you found of interest? I may note corn numbers went down just slightly. Soybeans and wheat were both up on the world side, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that as we're looking here, it's going to be a lot more important that we pay attention to South America's weather. You know, one's wet and one's dry down in Argentina and Brazil, and we're going to see some stuff going in that way. But I think that that's going to be a lot to look at, is how their planning weather is going to be, as much as with the numbers we're looking at here.
And finally, producers today are thinking, hey, wait a second. I don't think this crop's as good as USDA says it is. They've been thinking that for a while. Now they've got another month to wait, a month in which they're likely to harvest and for commercial storage that they're likely to have to make a decision. Is there something they can do to help wait out the process?
Down in here, if you're considering commercial storage rather than your own, I think first off, all the farmers are going to take their contracts in, the ones that they have, which aren't very many. After that, they're going to fill their home storage before they go back to the elevator. But, you know, a lot can happen in a month with these big combines. I think that, you know, there is carry in this market, and I think that they're going to want to consider probably storing it. You know, down in here, it's probably a good time if you want to. The volatility has definitely come out of the calls, and we're down some pretty cheap prices. If you're going to need to be selling some grain, why looking at some calls is probably not a bad idea.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you, Todd.
And, of course, Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Hey, don't forget to visit us tonight at the Champaign County Farm Bureau at 7 o'clock. We'll be on stage for one of our Will Ag Marketing panels. This is free and open to everybody. Bring your questions for the evening. Get yourself set for the harvest season as you bring the crop in. We'll talk tonight with Bill Mayer at Strategic Farm Marketing, Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing, and Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities. Again, that's open to everyone tonight at 7 o'clock. Thanks to the Champaign County Farm Bureau and the Marketing Club there for sponsoring the program tonight at 7 o'clock at the Farm Bureau building. That's on Country Fair Drive on the west side of Champaign. It's also the U of I Extension building. Now let's turn our attention to another USDA report. This one released yesterday afternoon, the Weekly Crop Progress and Conditions Report. It shows that as of Sunday, 75% of the corn crop had dented, 81% is the rolling five-year average, 21% was mature, 31% is the rolling five-year average. 5% of the crop had been harvested, and the rolling five-year average for harvest is 6%. It was in 48% good and 13% excellent condition, and that's the same as last week. 22% of the soybeans are now dropping leaves. That compares to the rolling five-year average at 25%. 49% of that crop is in good condition, 11% excellent. That's down 1 percentage point. From the previous week. Last year, by the way, those numbers were 55% and 18%, respectively. Now, here are the updates from Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. It was another dry week in Iowa, with only localized showers during the week ending September 10th, 2017. Activities for the week included cutting hay, chopping corn for silage, seeding cover crops, hauling grain, and preparing for grain harvest. Topsoil moisture levels rated 49% short to very short and 51% adequate. South Central and Southeast Iowa continue to be the driest parts of the state, with over 80% of topsoil moisture rated short to very short. 76% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage or beyond, 3 days behind the 5-year average. 15% of corn had reached maturity, 6 days behind last year and 8 days behind average. Corn condition rated 60% good to excellent. 47% of soybeans were turning color, 1 day behind average. 8% of soybeans were dropping leaves, 4 days behind average. Soybean condition rated 61% good to excellent. Pasture conditions declined to 41% poor to very poor due to continued dry conditions slowing growth. Livestock conditions remained good, with reports of cattlemen weaning calves. I am Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Cool and dry weather continued across Illinois last week. The state average rainfall was less than 1/10 of an inch, and that was more than 1/2 inch below normal for the week. Temperatures range from 6 to 8 degrees below normal. Topsoil moisture levels declined and were rated 19% very short, 45% short, and 36% adequate. Corn harvest reached 2% by Sunday last week. That compares to 3% 1 year ago and 6% for the 5-year average. 26% of corn acres are mature compared to 41% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated as follows: 12% in very poor to poor condition, 32% fair, and 56% in good to excellent condition. Soybeans were turning color on 47% of acres, compared to 46% 1 year ago and 46% normally. 13% of acres were dropping leaves, compared to 16% normally. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 13% in very poor to poor condition, 30% fair, and 57% in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding all farmers and ranchers that the Census of Agriculture is coming this December.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota farmers have nearly completed the small grain harvest and have begun harvesting dryable beans and corn for silage. Other field activities included fall tillage, spreading manure, and seeding cover crops. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 5% very short, 18% short, 73% adequate, and 4% surplus. 96% of the corn crop was at or beyond the dough stage. 71% of the corn crop reached the dent stage, and that's 9 days behind last year and 5 days behind the 5-year average. There were scattered reports of corn reaching maturity in southern Minnesota. Corn for silage harvest had begun and is 10% complete. That's 8 days behind last year. Corn condition improved slightly to 82% good to excellent. 47% of the soybean crop was turning color, with 13% leaves dropping. Soybean condition declined slightly to 72% good to excellent. Both the spring wheat and oat harvests were 97% complete. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was 85% complete, and the pasture condition stayed at 58% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Cooler temperatures slowed maturation some for corn and soybeans. The lowest recorded temperature for the week was 38 degrees, the highest 93 degrees. Corn was 76% dented compared to 86% last year and 79% 5-year average. Corn was 26% matured compared to 33% last year and 29% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 56% in the north, 48% in central, and 52% in the south. Soybeans were 26% dropping leaves compared to 24% last year and 29% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 58% in the north, 50% in central, and 49% in the south. Both corn and soybean fields are beginning to dry down from the limited rainfall over the past 2 weeks. Some growers are concerned that below average temperatures have slowed maturation of their crops. Growers reported seeing a fair amount of variation in the maturity for corn and soybeans. Seed corn, tomato, mint, and potato harvest continued. Other activities included preparing storage bins and dryers for harvest, preparing harvest equipment, hauling grain, scouting for pests, and mowing roadsides. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Well, let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energy segment, and we're joined by Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. Hey, Stephen, thanks for being with us. Let's talk a little bit about Florida, Texas, Irma, Harvey, and the agricultural energies as they're related to what's been happening to gasoline supplies and capacity both. What have you been following?
Well, certainly Irma has not really had much impact, with the exception of the demand side. Certainly, the dislocations that we saw in terms of travel and other assessments have generally led to really no impact there, at least for any length of time. The biggest impact was certainly from Harvey at the beginning of this month, and it still is impacting the refining capacity of the U.S. and the Gulf Coast region. We are seeing since that time refineries have been shut down. At one point, over 20% of the U.S. refining capacity was shuttered, creating some supply concerns for areas along the Gulf Coast and eastern U.S. Those areas are typically the areas supplied by that region. And the major areas impacted were both Houston, Beaumont, Port Arthur, all major refining areas. We do have four refineries still actually shut. There's six refineries in the process of restarting. And that restarting process can take from days to a few weeks. It's a very complicated process, very dangerous, and subsequently we have been waiting for production to come back on. And at this time, you probably are seeing as much as about 2.5 to 3 million barrels of gasoline, distillate, and other products basically not being produced as it would have been if we had not been affected by the hurricane. So we still are in the process. The impact on prices was dramatic. Crude oil actually fell in terms of the storm backing up crude supplies because these refineries were shutting down. We did have heating oil move pretty considerably. Since last month, we basically have moved as much as 13 cents, whereby crude really did not move much. On the unleaded, we moved as much as 14 cents. And the cracks, which are what we've talked about many a times in terms of the margins, were explosive. We saw the unleaded crack, which is the margin between gasoline and crude oil, move from as much as $15 per barrel to as high as $28 at one point for the October contract. It's now trading around 21.5. And the heating oil the same way, moved out from 19 to as much as 27 at one point and has come back into around 25. They're probably looking at the diesel or the heating oil, the ultra low sulfur diesel, as probably being the strongest aspect of the market as we start moving and picking up some of the demand in terms of the reconstruction process. So overall, I think we need to really look at this market from a demand standpoint, start looking at the fundamental factors internationally and the adjustments being made, which should help support this market here and probably lead to some strength in crude values up into the 51 area.
Thanks, Steve. Stephen Platt, of course, is with Archer Financial Services. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this USDA Report Day. Again, you can find all those numbers on our website. They're summarized there in a couple of places on the homepage at willag.org. And then if you look for the USDA Reports page, you'll find a more complete and detailed list, including the world numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture. Now, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. It feels kind of, well, fall-like here in our part of the world. Gosh, it's just downright cool today.
Yeah, it is. And this is something that we're going to have more of an opportunity in terms of having it feel more like fall. The first half of September really dominated by pretty warm temperatures across most of the United States. We've had Harvey. We just got done with Irma. We've had major wildfires in the Pacific Northwest and the Northern Rockies, all fueled by late summertime heat. Now, changing weather conditions are taking place right now. And as we go into the next couple of weeks, we're going to see a transition from a late summer pattern to one that looks like, well, it looks like as it really should as you head into the second half of September. We're starting to see the door opening from the Gulf of Alaska and the Eastern Pacific, allowing frontal systems and storm systems to be getting more active across the United States. And this is going to lead to a fall-like pattern for many areas of the lower 48 states as we look ahead through the second half of the month.
It would be more normal, so you're not forecasting abnormally cool temperatures in the second half, or am I not taking you correctly at the moment?
No, I do think there is going to be a tendency for temperatures for the, let's say, the four-week period from the middle the 15th of September to the 15th of October. I do think that at least trending to normal or maybe slightly below normal at times is a good bet. Do we see anything yet that would send a severe shot of cold into the nation's midsection? No, but I will tell you that the first mountain snows of the season will be happening in the Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming Rockies this weekend. And there will certainly be a shot of some colder air that will send temperatures down into some of the plain states by the middle of next week that will be down into the 30s in some areas. Not getting in the Corn Belt just yet, but certainly we're seeing signs of that transition taking place.
And speaking of transitions, in South America, they're moving from their winter months to their springtime. Have you taken a look at Brazil?
Well, one thing that we do see in Brazil, at least in the next week to 10 days ahead, is a pretty dry pattern. And most of Brazil, areas of Argentina right now, looking at a pretty dry spring so far, and as they get deeper into the spring, at least another week or two out, it does look like conditions are going to be dry. Brazil right now, their soil moisture profile in many areas is a bit below normal. So right now it's a dry start to the spring, and at least for another week or two, that's going to continue down there.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Now, don't forget, tonight you should join us at the Champaign County Farm Bureau building out on Country Fair Drive. That's also the U of I Extension building in Champaign for our ag panel. We'll have along with us this evening Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. The program starts at 7 o'clock. It's free and open to all. And I hope I'll see you there. I'm Todd Gleason.